Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. We'll preach the word to you tonight, what the Lord's laid on our heart. And I appreciate seeing this good number of people in church on a Sunday night, especially on Super Bowl Sunday. You know, there's many people that probably just decided they love the football team more than they love God tonight and stayed at the house. But I do appreciate it. It's encouraging to me to see this and see this good number of people. And, you know, we go in some churches sometimes, and it's just it just looks like there's no life in it. I mean, it just seems just like they're just there going through the motions. But you got a good church here, and you just feel the Spirit of the Lord. And somebody said to make ourselves at home, and you make us feel at home. I want to thank you for that. And I just tell you, just keep it like this. Don't go for something new. Just keep it like this. There's too many places just going after that new stuff. And we just need to stick with the old-time gospel. My pastor says old-time religion still works if you work it. And it's very true. But I just say I appreciate this. It's encouraging to be tonight. To be in your church tonight. But 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we'll read one verse tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, give you a little background what's going on here. David realizes that he's about to die. Here he is, he's been the king of Israel, and he's about to pass away, and he's gathered together Solomon, his son. He's got all the captains, he's got all the people gathered together there. And I can't imagine Solomon here. Here he is, it's his not only his king, but his father is getting ready to die. And David's kind of giving his last commands here. And he says in verse number 10, as he's speaking to Solomon, he says in verse 10, "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Tonight I want to talk to you on this fact about be strong and do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for these dear folks and these dear people. Thank you, God, for the burden that you placed on our hearts to go to Hawaii and share the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be here tonight. Lord, I pray that you please help me now as I preach. Help me, God, to say exactly what you'd have me to say and keep from my lips the things I need not say. Help me, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You see here, David looks at Solomon. He says, "Hey, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Now, David had in his heart that he was going to build God's house, but God wouldn't let him. God wouldn't allow it. It wasn't God's will. And now here it is. He's passing this down to Solomon, this command and this thing that God has called him to do. I can't imagine the fear that's in Solomon's heart now. Can you imagine he's becoming the king of a nation, and his first task is to build God's house. Man, how would you like that? That's pressure right there. You think they're on, going to have pressure tonight on that ball field? That's pressure, having to build God's house. And, you know, I worked heating and air, and I got nervous working on some people's houses sometimes, but I can't imagine working on God's house. Here Solomon is. He's been commanded to do something. I tell you, every one of us has been commanded to do something. Bob Jones Sr. said one time that success is finding God's will and doing it. God has a will and a purpose for everybody's life, and it's our job to figure out what that is and then to be strong and to do it. Can I tell you, the only way that you're going to be able to do it is if you be strong. The Bible says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." The Bible says in Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Can I tell you, we can't accomplish God's task for our lives unless we be strong. But we see that God has a work for us to do. And Matthew, he told them to go out into the highways and hedges. He went out and compelled them to go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come. Matthew 28, he said, "Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It's our job. It's our task. It's what God's left us here to do. It's to work and to reach people before it's too late. Now listen, He's not calling everybody to be pastors or evangelists or teachers. He's not calling everybody to serve like that, but everybody is to be faithful and to be a soul winner and reach as many people as they can with the gospel before it's too late. I want to mention a couple of things tonight about how we can be strong and do the will of God. And first of all, we need to forget not God's purpose. Forget not God's purpose. Notice Solomon, David looks at Solomon, he says, "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee." I tell you, it wasn't David's will for Solomon's life. It wasn't the captains, the government got together and said, let's take a vote among ourselves. Let's draw straws, see who gets to be the next king. And hey, lo and behold, it was Solomon. That's not it. God chose him. God had a purpose and a plan for Solomon's life. and it was Solomon's job, and what he was supposed to do was to build God's house. God chose him to do that. God has chosen us all to do something. He chose us to go to Hawaii, and that's what God's plan for our life is, and that's what we're going to try to fulfill and do with our life, is just do what God told us to do. But no matter where God sent us, no matter where God tells us to go, we should be willing to go. We met a missionary not long ago going to Siberia, Russia. Man, he said he was going to the coldest town on earth was where he was going to start a church. I said, God bless you, buddy. And I'm thinking, thank God for Hawaii. But the fact is, if God had called me to go a place like that, I hope I would have been willing to say, God, I'll go. It don't matter where God's called you to be. It may be God's called you right here in this place, but I can tell you, wherever God's called you to do, or wherever He's called you to be, just get in there and just do it. Just be strong and do the will of God for your life. The Bible said in Acts 13:2, God said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. God said, hey, I've got a work for them to do. I've got something special for them. Can I tell you, God's got something special for your life. He made you for it. He made you to fulfill His will. I tell you, everything in my life, God's been preparing us and helping us and getting us ready to go to a place like Hawaii. I look back at things in my life, and sometimes it looks like God, it didn't make sense when I was going through it at the time. But now when I look back on it, I know God's just shaping us and God's just preparing us and God's just getting us ready to fulfill His purpose. But I tell you, God's got something for your life. And whatever it is, you need to just find it. Maybe God ain't showed you yet, but hey, just keep praying. That's the way we were in that position for a while. We were praying, man, I thought I was ready, man. Well, Lord, send me, I'm ready to go. But you know what? God had to teach me some things first. And I believe He's still teaching me some things. But you know what? We just had to keep being faithful to Him and keep being ready and keep praying. And being a young preacher, man, I just wanted to get somewhere. I was ready to go. I was chomping at the bits. Just, Lord, turn me loose somewhere. I just don't know. I just didn't know where. But can I tell you, just fulfill God's purpose in your life. God's got a purpose for every single one of us. And we just need to find out what that is. And we need to do it. And the Bible says that, hey, we're a peculiar people. We're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, the Bible says. Hey, God set us apart to do His will. I tell you, God could have just wrote the plan of salvation in the sky, and everybody could look up and plainly see how to be saved. God could have sent down the angels to do it, but I tell you, that's not what He did. That's not His plan. God's plan was for us to fulfill His purpose and to fulfill His will and to go around the world and share the gospel before it's too late. God has a plan for every single one of our lives. You just got to find what that is, and you better be strong and you better do it. But the Bible says here that He told Solomon to be strong and do what God had called him to do. So we need to follow God's, forget not God's purpose. And then secondly, in order to be strong and do it, we need to follow God's pattern. We need to follow God's pattern. Right now, we don't take the time to read them, but from verses 11 down through verse number 19, everything for the house of God is laid out for Solomon. He tells him how to build it. And he says there that David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof, and the treasuries thereof, and of the chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat. And he goes on talking about the pattern that God gave him. God gave him the blueprints for everything that he needed. Now, can you imagine God told you you're commanded to build God's house and you didn't have any plans for it and you had to come up with your own? Boy, I can't imagine. Imagine that having to do that. But you know what? The fact is, he gave him some instructions. He gave him a plan, a pattern to follow. And that's what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to do it exactly the way that God told him to do it. I tell you, there's a plan, a pattern for our lives that God has laid out. The Bible says we have the Word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Why? It lays out everything for us. Every bit of the way we should live, the way we should act, the way we should talk, the way we should operate. Everything. God has given us a pattern for our lives. And we're supposed to do what God said. And we're supposed to follow that pattern. In Hawaii, they've got something. It's like a charismatic kind of church movement. They've got them all over the place. It's called New Hope. I told my wife they ought to call it No Hope because that's what it is. There's no truth in it. But the fact is, the world is just kind of just running after those things. Those things that just glorify the flesh and just these contemporary things. There's this thing that opened up not far from Trinity. It's called The Journey. I guess it's The Journey to Hell. I don't know. But it's just a wicked place. I hate to call him a pastor, but the leader of this thing, he's got an afro that's like out to here. I don't see how he gets it through the door. It's just foolishness looking. But can I tell you, the world is just running after that stuff. Why? Because it's what their flesh wants. And I tell you, many churches are starting to go that way just to get the crowd in and just try to please people. I can tell you, hey, that's not what God's pattern is. That's not what God's purpose is. That's not what God's work is to be done. God's work is to be done God's way, and that's the only way it's to be done. And hey, when we get to Hawaii, I know exactly how to build a church. I say, we're going to go out and we're going to start knocking on doors. We're going to start inviting people to come and say, hey, come visit our church sometime. We're just going to go out knocking on doors and inviting people to come. Hey, we're going to do it God's way, and we know exactly what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says in the book of Acts that they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about how that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Why? Because they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And they just kept putting the message out there. People kept getting saved. I tell you, we just need to do that. We need to do God's work God's way. We need to follow God's pattern of doing things. I tell you, many times, I remember one time we bought a new TV cart at our house, and I was going to put that together, and I'm thinking, man, this thing's going to be easy to put together, you know. I don't need the instructions, you know. Honey, you know, you can take them, throw them in the trash. I don't need those things. But you know what? I started pulling out all them things. Every piece looked exactly the same. And I'm thinking, which one's the bottom? Which one's the top? Which one's the back? And there's, you know, I'm trying to figure it out. You know what I ended up doing? I ended up getting the instructions out. Why? Because I needed to read them. I needed to figure out how to do it. I tell you, many times we in our lives, I believe we just try to do it our way. And we just run and try to do it our way and what we think. I tell you, that'll just get ourselves in a mess. If we just start out doing it God's way and just pray and say, God, what do you want me to do about this? And do it God's way, I believe we'd be a whole lot better off. We need to follow God's pattern for our life. I tell you, God's got a way He wants us to live, a way He wants us to act. We need to just follow God's pattern for our life. So forget not God's purpose, follow God's pattern. But then thirdly, in order to be strong and do it, you need to feel God's presence. Look over in verse number 20 of this chapter 28, in verse 20, David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. I tell you, my God, he said, it's the same God that's going to be with you. You imagine being Solomon as a little boy and some of the bedtime stories he got to hear. I bet his favorite was David when he fought Goliath. Tell me about that, Dad. I tell you, he grew up. That's his dad, that man that slew Goliath. And here he is. He's done. He said, hey, son, that same God that was with me that helped me kill that giant, it's the same God that's going to be with you. And it's the same God that's going to help you till you finish what God's called you to do. Can I tell you, we need to feel God's presence in our life. When we first started announcing to our friends and telling our family, oh, God's sent us to Hawaii, we had all kinds of people. Anytime they'd read an article about Hawaii, they'd bring it to us, you know. And we love learning those fun facts about Hawaii. We got a book on our table, Hawaii for Dummies, and that's for me. And they don't make a Hawaii for smart people. My wife would have bought that one. I love you, sweetie. You know, we just had all these people giving us these articles. Found out a lot of things, by the way. Found out there's no snakes on the Big Island of Hawaii. Praise God. Amen. I'm so glad about that. And I found out that there's an average of one death a year in Hawaii attributed to a fallen coconut. And it's strange. But so watch your head when you go to Hawaii. But, you know, the fact I found out all these things about Hawaii. Well, this one guy came to me one day and said, I found this article about Hawaii. I want to give it to you. And it said, of all the populated centers on earth, Hawaii is the most isolated. Thanks. That's the one I could have done without, honestly. And it goes on to say about how it's about almost 3,000 miles from California and all these different lengths, all these things where it's away from. I just began to think, I'm like, here it is. I mean, you look on a globe, you can't even hardly see it. I mean, it's not that big. It's just a little island out there in the middle of nowhere. And it's where the Big Island is it's an active volcano right now. It's the only active volcano in the United States. I mean, it's spewing smoke and lava all the time. I'm thinking, God, you're sending us to a place like that, most isolated thing, and tsunamis and earthquakes, all this stuff. I'm thinking, God, I was getting worried. I'm thinking, are you sure you want us to go to a place like this? But you know what comes to my mind? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hey, can I tell you, it may be the most isolated, populated place on earth, but I can tell you, Jesus will still be there with us. I tell you, His presence will always be with us. Bible says in Joshua over in or Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 6, it said, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is that do it, go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Joshua 1:9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Can I tell you, the same God that helped David kill the giant is with us today. The same God that helped the children of Israel cross the Red Sea is the one that's with us today. The same God that was with Elijah when he took on the prophets of Baal. I tell you, that's the same God that's with us today. He's just the same. He's just as powerful. And he's just as able to help us today if we'll just yield to him and trust his presence. Can I tell you, he is always with us. Hey, there's been some times where I've been out soul winning and God say, "Hey, you need to have that person a track." And I'm thinking, I don't want to give them a track. They're mean looking. And they might hit me if I try to give them a track. And I tell you, one day, me and my friend, I went to Crown College. So we were out soaring one day. And he was a big guy and a real tall guy, about 7 foot tall. I mean, big guy. And but scared to death of dogs. And he told me, he said, "Listen," he said, "I ain't got to outrun them. I just got to outrun you." And he would have, honestly, he would have knocked me out and fed me to the dogs to get away. And can I tell you, we were out this one day, and we're walking. I mean, we got dropped off on this road. It's one of those roads you're thinking, nobody lives on this. Why'd they drop us off here? And we're just walking down this long gravel road. And finally, we get down, and we see a house, and we keep walking. And the first thing we see is a big Rottweiler. I mean, big old thing, stand up. Chain on him looked like it was about that big around. And we heard that chain start rustling. He started coming at us. Well, I guess my buddy wasn't trusting him. That chain was hooked to something. So he's done taken off. He's on running. And about that time, I'm thinking, well, I'm getting ready to run myself. When somebody came out the door and he said, "Devil, leave him alone." And I'm thinking, what? And he's, "Devil, shut up, devil." And he's just in the, I guess that was his dog's name, was Devil. And so we talked to the guy. We just got a little real nice man. Talked to him, invited him to church. And we got back on the bus and said, "Man, we went face to face with the devil out there today." I got to tell you. But you know what? The fact is, even if we do go face to face with the devil, we got Jesus with us. We've got his presence with us everywhere we go. There's nowhere you can go to be out of the will, out of the presence of God. God is everywhere, and God's all around. I tell you, we just need to realize that his presence is with us. And I tell you, we don't have, and there are still some times we get afraid. I remember when we took our honeymoon, we were rented a cabin up Gatlinburg area for our honeymoon. And all, first night there, I mean, middle of nowhere, seemed like, out in the middle of the woods. And I began to think about all that stuff I shouldn't have watched when I was younger. All the boogeyman and movies and all that stuff like that. And I'm thinking, here I am. I'm supposed to be the strong husband, you know, and defend my wife. And I'm looking out the window thinking, I hope nothing's out there, you know. But the fact is, God's with us no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. God's presence is always with us. And we just need to always remember that. No matter what we go through, no matter what we face, hey, God's presence is always right with us. But we need to feel God's presence. And fourthly, in order to be strong and do the will of God, we need to fully rely on God's power. We just need to fully rely on God's power. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse number 5, Solomon said here, "And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods." You know what he said? He said, we got a great God. He said, the reason why we're building God a great house is because we got a great God. I can tell you, we've got a great God today. And if we're going to accomplish God's will for our lives, we need to fully rely on God's power. In John chapter 1, verse number 12, it says, "To them that received him gave he power to become the sons of God." Can I tell you, God has given us his Holy Spirit and his power in our lives, and the only way we're going to get it accomplished is by his power. Hey, we can't do it in our own strength. That's why the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hey, we've got to trust his strength. That we can't accomplish it of ourselves. We've got to yield to him and get his power and his presence on our lives. I tell you, that's why daily we need to get up and we need to have a time with God, read his word, and seek his presence and get his power on our lives. It's the only way we're going to accomplish this task. You know, Paul, Apostle Paul said, "I die daily." You know, probably not one of the greatest Christians that ever lived is the Apostle Paul. Most of the New Testament, he was the man that God used to pin it down. Can I tell you, a great man. But you know what he said? He said, "I have to die daily." He said, "Daily, I have to crucify the flesh, why he needed the power of God on his life. Can I tell you, every single one of us need God's power. We need God's touch on our life. Can I tell you, hey, I pray daily for my pastor. Why? That God will keep his touch and his power on my pastor. Hey, you need to do the same for your pastor. Hey, pray for him. Ask God to help him and protect him. I tell you, we need to pray for God's power on our pastor's life. Hey, we need to pray it on our own life. Hey, we need to pray that God would help us and God would direct us. I tell you, we need to just have God's power on our lives. It's the only way we're going to accomplish. The only way we're going to get it done is just do what God's called us to do. It's just be strong and just fulfill what God's called us to do. But we need to have His power. We've got to have it. There's no other way to get it done. I tell you, I remember one time we were at home, and you ever had the power go out at your house? And you think, well, I'm going to do something real quick, and then you realize you can't do it. There ain't no power. And I've done that all the time. I remember being a little kid, and the power went out of our house, and Daddy was going to keep us busy. He was going to put a movie in for us to watch. And about halfway getting it in, trying to turn on the TV, he realized, this ain't going to work. There ain't no power. And I remember that. He said, just read a book, just do something. But the fact is, I believe many times as Christians, we operate our lives that way. Hey, no power. We're not plugged in to God. We don't have any power or touch in our life. We're just kind of going through the motions and trying to make our way through the day and journey through it and just kind of suffer through that. Can I tell you, we need to have God's power in our life. We need to have God's touch on our life. It's the only way that we're going to accomplish God's task. So to be strong and do it, we need to forget not God's purpose and follow God's pattern, feel God's presence, fully rely on God's power. But then lastly, in order to be strong and do it, we need to finish giving God praise. Hey, I want to finish what God's called me to do. Over here at 1 Chronicles chapter 29, in verse number 20, chapter 29, verse 20, the Bible says, "And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God, and all the congregation bless the Lord God of their fathers, bow down their heads and worship the Lord and the king." Here David is, he's worshiping the Lord. Then the Bible says down in verse number 28, "And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead." I tell you, David definitely had some hard times in his life. Definitely had some times where he messed up and did some things wrong. I tell you, he got things right, and at the end of his life, he finished up. He's giving God praise. He's worshiping the Lord. I tell you, I want to finish what God's called us to do. Paul said in Acts 20, verse number 24, he said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear, that I might finish my course with joy." Hey, can I tell you, we need to finish what God's called us to do. Hey, I want to finish. I want to accomplish His task. I heard recently some statistics about missions, and it said that every year 1,000 missionaries come off the field, and only 50 go to the field. And went on to say that of the 50 that go, over 75% won't make it the first 3 years. Well, Errol, we after hearing that in that service, me and Errol got talking, Errol said, is that going to happen to us? I said, I don't want it to happen to me. I bet none of those people that start out that way say, I'm just going to make it 3 years and then quit. I bet none of them did. I mean, you know, the fact is, we need to finish what God's called us to do. We need to accomplish it. Over in Luke chapter number 14, Luke 14, Jesus says this, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth down not first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, that all begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish." Boy, I think that's one of the saddest phrases in the Bible, was not able to finish. Hey, boy, he started out good. He got the foundation there laid, but he just didn't finish. Hey, can I tell you, I want to finish well. I want to finish what God's called me to do. Hey, I want to accomplish it. Paul said in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, he said, hey, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. He said, I finished my course with joy. He said, hey, I have finished what God called me to do. I can tell you, when it comes time for me to leave this world, I won't be able to say, hey, I finished it. Hey, it's done. I've done everything God put before me to do. God's called us to do. Hey, God's called us to go to Hawaii, and hey, I want to finish there. Hey, if I spend the rest of my life there, hey, that's whatever God wants me to do. Hey, I just want to finish where He's got me. Hey, if we're planning on spending the rest of our lives in Hawaii, building churches and starting churches all over the islands, I told somebody that it's my desire to see an independent, fundamental Bible preaching church in every town of the state of Hawaii. When I see that accomplished, I'll pray about what God has to do next. Hey, but can I tell you, He might have me and not have me there that long. I don't know, but can I tell you, wherever He puts me, I just want to finish. I know right now my orders are Hawaii. Until I get orders from above, from the next place He wants me to move, hey, I'm just going to stick right there. But can I tell you, whatever God's called you to do in your life, finish it. Hey, finish. Just finish what God has called you to do. You know, tonight in the Super Bowl, it's the Giants and Patriots. And everybody's talking about a few years ago when these same two teams met in the Super Bowl. What was different that year is that the Patriots had went undefeated all year through the regular season, made it all the way through the playoffs, made it to the Super Bowl, and they lost. Why? They didn't finish. Man, they started out good. They went through the year good, but what? They didn't finish. They didn't really win the one that counts. I tell you, we need to just finish what God's called us to do. No matter what it is, no matter what God, do you say, well, God just wants me to be an usher or a deacon. God just wants me to be a soul winner or a layman in the church. Hey, whatever God's called you to do, hey, just stick in and finish it. Just do what God's called you to do. But can I tell you, and always be open for God to do more in your life. Hey, never be satisfied with doing enough for God. I always strive to do more. God's got a task and God's got a purpose for every single one of us. And we just need to be strong and do what God's called us to do. And I hope that you'll just decide that you're going to dig in and do what God's called you to do. When back in the month of December, we went out to New Mexico and we had the opportunity to present our work and preach in churches in Texas and New Mexico. Enjoyed that trip. When we were in Texas, we were in San Antonio and we got to take a day and go to the Alamo and see that. I'd never been able to see it. I watched the John Wayne movie as a kid. I always thought it was cool, you know, awesome, and wanted to go there and see. And we went to the Alamo and seen it. And they were showing videos and all and talking about history and how the war started down there and all. And they talked about this little town that was called Gonzales. And the Mexican government had loaned this town a cannon. And when the war broke out between them and Texas, the Mexican army had commands to go in there and get that cannon back so it wouldn't be used against them. And it said that when they went into the town of Gonzales, the men of that town gathered together, and they were going to fight this army that was so much bigger than them. And they sent a letter ahead and said, just give us the cannon, that's all we want. They boasted a banner, and they wrote on that banner, come and take it. Come and take it. And they fought them off that day, and that was the start of the war between Texas and Mexico. And they know what? They won that day. But I can tell you, hey, we just need some Christians to have that kind of attitude. Hey, just come and take it. Hey, I'm going to do what God's want me to do. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to fulfill what God's called me to do. We need some Christians that will just be strong and do it today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Hope God something was said to be a help to someone tonight. God, I just pray that you just help people tonight. God, there may be someone here tonight that they want to do your will, God. And Lord, maybe they're not sure exactly what your will for their life is. God, I pray that you give them clarity about that tonight, God. But Lord, I just pray that you just speak to people's hearts here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to be faithful and finish what you've called us to do. Lord, there's work to be done all around this world, God. There's missionaries that need to be called and sent. And Lord, there's work to be done around here, God. And I just pray that you just show people what your will is. Help them, God, to be strong and to rely on you and to do what God's called them to do. Lord, if there be someone here tonight, Lord, that's been doing your will, but God, they're burdened, God, and they're just discouraged. God, I pray that you'd help them tonight and give them what they need. They may continue to do your work. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd help here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.